play? Will you turn on the lights and can we play this video? And I know it has Ravi Zacharias in there, so we're going to try to avoid that part with him. So if you would like any more information, let us know. September 20, we're going to start the class with Gary. It is the Minor Prophets. It's going to be our review on the Minor Prophets. It's going to be on Wednesday nights at 6:30. And then this Thursday, we're going to continue through the Bible. It's been a really nice to just to go from Genesis, Exodus. And right now, I think we're in Exodus, right? We're in Exodus. And man, Genesis has a lot. Exodus has a lot. Leviticus has a lot. So if you're interested in reading the whole Bible and studying the whole Bible, Thursday nights is the night. Wednesday night we do with Gary. So he's going to start on the 20th. Let me ask you something. And I know some firefighters in here. And I'm glad because the message today is we are bought with a price. What are the five things that you don't do in the case of a fire? First of all, you don't break the windows. If your window is closed, and this is what I read, okay? And if I'm wrong, please correct me. But this is what I got, that you don't break the windows. If you're in your house and it is burning, don't break your windows because all that air is going to come in and create more fuel for the fire to go spread faster. Is that right? And so another thing says in here that do not open the doors. If you're in a room and you're sleeping, dreaming that you're a king, and you wake up and it's burning, and you hear the smoke alarm going on, do not open the door. First of all, it says that you have to kind of touch the handle, see if it is hot. Is there smoke coming out? If the door is hot, because if you open it, that's going to be bad news. The other one is, the third one is, do not return for belongings. If you're out of the house and the house is on fire, don't try to go back for your car keys or your dog. No, just kidding. Don't go over there for, you know, anything. Just leave it there. It can be replaced. Another thing is don't hide. Don't be afraid to start hiding. Because then the firefighters were not going to find you. The last one is do not get into like in an elevator or something that is electric. Because then, the power can go off and then you're trapped and then you're gone. Well, there was a story that I read about this pastor. He was a firefighter, and he said that they were called to go there and to a fire. So when they got there, the fire was already really burning. And so they went into the front door. They were looking for people. They found Mrs. in the living room, unconscious. So one of the firefighters went outside, got all the equipment. The other guy started, doing CPR. The lady came up, and so they carry her outside, and she starts screaming, "My dogs, my dogs, my dogs! Oh, and my husband, and my husband!" And so the firefighter goes, "Well, what do you want to rescue, your dogs or your husband first?" "My husband." So they ask her, "Where's your husband?" "Oh, he's in the second floor." So there go the firefighters. They go up in the second floor, and they found him on the floor. And he already had like first degree burn. And what they noticed is that his mouth was burned. And so what happened is that he explained that what happens is that when you're in a fire and if you don't check the doors, that if it is hot or nothing, if you open the door, the first thing that is going to come into your face is fire. And the first thing that he said that probably did is he breathed in. So he opened the door, he went, and all he kind of swallowed the fire, so his throat was burned. So they rescued him, and he was okay. A few months later, he came over to the fire station thanking the guys. "Thank you for saving my life. I thought it was, this is it." And the pastor said, it's interesting because we saved this man from the fire, from burning alive. He would have been done. And this is what Jesus did for us. He came to save us from the eternal fire. Nobody can do that. And the pastor would say, and I was so proud of me. I was so happy. Yes, I saved someone. But then it dawned on him, saying, "I need to share the gospel with this family. Because this is a good opportunity for me to tell them, hey, listen, just the way we rescue, Jesus wants to rescue." And today my message is going to be, "He paid my ransom." And it's going to be here on your screen. He paid my ransom. Why? Because we are bought with a price, with a high price. Jesus, we've been going through Mark chapter 15, and we see how Jesus has been paying the price of the pain. He took the shame. He took our place. He took the place of that man, Barabbas. If you remember that he was there, he didn't say anything. And the crowd was saying, we want Barabbas. We don't want Jesus. We want Jesus Barabbas. That's the Jesus that we want. We want the one who's temporary. This guy who's fighting against the Romans. But we don't want this guy Jesus, because this Jesus, man, when he talks to us, we feel guilty. And he tells us the truth. And we don't want to hear the truth. We want him out of here. And as you read chapter 15, you see that they chose Barabbas instead. But Jesus is better than Barabbas. Jesus is greater than the sacrifice and than the animal sacrifices. He came to die. He was the perfect sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. And the price that he paid, it was a high price. Look at what Paul says on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. And it's going to be here on the screen. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your bodies. The NLT, the New Living Bible says, for God bought you with a high price. So we have this value in our lives. We value. And God is saying, hey, no matter what you have, no matter what you did in your past, I'm willing to pay for it. I'm willing to bring it to the cross and nail it. That's what I want to do for you. He says there in chapter 7, verse 23, you were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. Do not become slaves of sin. You are free. We are free in Christ. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that we are, Christ has paid the price for us. As we're going to see today, that he will nail the sin on the cross for you and me. And he was thinking of you. He was thinking of Freddie right there in that moment, saying, Freddie, I love you. And that's why I'm here, because your sin is horrible. How many of you would like to show your kids someone dying, someone killing somebody else? What about somebody else raping another person? We don't, right? Because it's awful. Sin is horrible. We don't want our kids to see that. How many of you would take your kids to a pornography room? No one. Because it's horrible. It's evil. Will destroy their lives. But that's what Jesus did, took the sin, became sin, and nailed it on the cross for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, Peter says, know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. And it says in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spots. The perfect sacrifice for you and me. You're here this morning, not for coincidence, but because he loves you. Because there's something in you said, I need something. I want answers. And who's the answer here? Who's the answer for the things that are going around in the world? What is the answer to the fire there in Hawaii? What about the earthquake that is just you know, in China? And the fire, they're going everywhere. And the storm. Why is it evil in the world? What is truth? And I love this, the study of the Truth Project, because it makes you think. We need to think. God makes us the way that he asks questions, that he makes us think about how we live our lives, who we are in him. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. In verse 21, last week we saw Simon. Remember that guy, Simon, who was walking, and Jesus was going to carry that shame, that cross. And they asked him, because Jesus is so, he's been through all this punishment that they did on him. They destroy his body. And it says that there was a man named Simon who took the cross. He represents us, the shame that we have. Because Jesus is blameless. He's perfect. He didn't deserve to be there, but he took our place. And it says in verse 22, there in Mark chapter 15, and they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of skull. This is a place, interesting. This is the Calvary. This is the place where Jesus was crucified. It's interesting. And so there's a picture about that place. And the Arabs, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a little eye somewhere. And then we're going to see another one that it looks better. But the Arabs built a transit stop right there, a bus stop. And so that's where Jesus was crucified. There's another picture, an old picture. There it is. You can see the little eyes, the two little eyes over there. That's the Golgotha right there. And so this place right here, it's located outside the city walls of Jerusalem. Not far from there, that first temple of Solomon was built right there. And this is some believe that this is Mount Moriah. Do you guys remember Mount Moriah? Anybody? It's in Genesis chapter 2. This is where Abraham took his son Isaac and lay him down on that sacrifice, and he was going to sacrifice son. And then the kid, the boy said, "Dad, where is the sacrifice?" As they go up in there, and he's carrying his own wood. And Abraham says, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." So many commentaries believe that this is Mount Moriah, that is part of that. And this is the same where Abraham took his son. So the prophecy will fulfill when he said, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." What an amazing, right? When you go back to history and you see all these things, how can you deny that there's a God? How can you deny when you see the city of Jerusalem? How can you deny that there's a nation named Israel? How can you deny that? I mean, you got to be really blind and say, well, that's a coincidence, right? It's not. It's not. Let's read verse 23. And my first part right here is going to be on the screen. It's going to be a righteous heart. Because Jesus Christ is the only one there among all these people who has a righteous heart. It says verse 23 here in Mark chapter 15. And they offer him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the price that you pay for us, Lord. Lord, we ask that your spirit, Lord, will speak through me, Lord, that it's not me, Lord. I pray, Father, that your spirit will move in the hearts of each one of us in here who are hurting. Each one of us, Lord, who have something in our heart, Father. Maybe it's a secret. Maybe our wife doesn't know. Maybe our husband doesn't know that we have this secret, that we have something going on in our lives, Father. But that today, Lord, that we'll settle that with you, Father. That today, Lord, we'll bring it to the cross and say, "Lord, here it is, Lord. Forgive me. Renew my heart, Lord. Take the heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh." Father, that's my prayer, Lord. I pray that you will guide me and lead me, Lord, in your word. I pray that you will lead me into the truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now they offer him this mix with myrrh and wine. So it was like kind of like a to take the pain. When a criminal was condemned to go to the cross and they went through all that the punishment, I mean, some of them, they didn't make it. They died right there. But so the soldiers, they kind of like fix everything so they can make this prisoner last longer and suffer more. And you know why? So people can see that and be afraid so they can think about it. Man, before I commit crime, I'm going to think about it, because I get caught, this is where I'm going to end up. And as we see last week, that Jesus was this figure in his face because of that whips, all the 39 whips that he got there. And his skin was ripped. And it says, Isaiah said that his face was not even recognizable. Can you imagine? And somebody, who is that? Well, this is your king. This is the king of the Jews. There it is. Like, oh, he doesn't even look like him. But you see that there were no compassion. So Jesus, knowing that this drink was going to reduce the pain, he says, "I'm not taking this. I'm going to go full to the cross. I'm going to take all the pain. I'm going to suffer everything, because I want you to know that I know that when you're suffering, I understand. That whatever you go through in your life, it doesn't matter what it is. If it is really painful, Jesus knows that, because he went through the cross." And you know, sometimes you go to the doctor and the first thing they do is say, "Hey, let me give you a pill so you can feel better." Yeah, see, Jesus denied that. He said, "No, I am going to go full to the cross. I want to have my senses not dual. I want to be a conscious. I want to be in control of everything," because he was in control of everything. It wasn't that the Romans said, "Well, this is what we're going to do today. We're going to crucify a guy who is innocent." No, Jesus knew all these things. He wanted to complete the redemption of us, the work of redemption. He wants to complete everything in a way that you and I will think about it. And if you think about how this crucifixion works, and we're going to explain a little bit more, that you and I will say, "Man, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you for taking that place for me." He refused that cup because he wanted to take the pain so we don't have to suffer, so we don't have to go through that. Verse 24 here in Mark, "And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take." Now, Mark doesn't tell us a lot of the details, but John does. John gives us a lot of details. So if you go to the book of John chapter 19, it tells us something that it happens here when they were trying to see who takes the clothes of Jesus. John chapter 19, verse 23 and 24, it says, When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garment and divided them into four parts, one part for each one, also his tunic. But his tunic was seamless, so it was just one piece. It was seamless, woven one piece from top to bottom. So they say to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will take it. This was to fulfill the scriptures, which it says there. And if you go to Psalms chapter 22, verse 18, well, if you read the whole chapter 22 of Psalms, the description of Jesus Christ, his suffering, it says verse 18 of Psalms 22, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing, they cast lots. Everything that Jesus was happening around him, it was the prophecy of him coming into the cross. This meant they were just doing it because, hey, maybe this is something that we're going to keep it. It's high price. It's expensive. Even though he was innocent, everything is just fulfilling. In Genesis chapter 37, we see Joseph. And if you remember Joseph, Joseph was the son of Jacob. And Jacob loved Joseph. And because he loved him, because he had him in an old age, he gave him this robe of colorful robe, really expensive one. And guess what? His brothers were jealous of him. And what happened that one time he came to visit them, and they said, let's kill him. Right? Let's kill Joseph. Let's get rid of this guy who's daddy's boy and mama's boy, right? Let's kill him. But what happened that they did not kill him? They took his tunic because they were jealous of him. And here in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, and Mark doesn't make this comment, but it says that Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing, Father, but I do. I know why they're doing this for. I know why they're doing this with my clothes. I know why they're spitting on me. I know why they took all this on me. I know. And it says that they cussed, they took his clothes and divided among themselves. Jesus became sin for us. Let's go back to Mark chapter 15, verse 25. And it was the third hour, like around 9 o'clock in the morning, when they crucified him. Now, Psalms 22, verse 16, it says, and you got to remember, this was written like 700 years before Jesus was crucified, before crucifixion was invented. It says here on Psalms 22, verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has closed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. So we see here the picture of Jesus Christ, David, filled with the Holy Spirit, writing about this time, this moment, when Jesus is being pierced, his hands and his arms to the cross. He nailed his sin to the cross. Verse 26 here in Mark chapter 15 says, and they in the inscription of the charges against him read, the King of the Jews. Now, everyone who was guilty, they will put a little thing in his, and they will write everything they were accused. And they have to carry it on their neck. But for Jesus, they nail it on the cross. So everybody to know, Jesus, this is the King of the Jews. Now, crucifixion was not invented by the Romans. The Persians. I'm trying to get my thoughts together. It was invented by the Persians. If you read Esther, when this guy, Haman, tried to kill Mordecai, and he built this gallows in his house to kill him. But it says right there, and this is from Chuck Missler. I like how Chuck Missler sometimes teaches that he goes from one point to another and then you get lost. I like that. Well, Chuck Missler gives this point, and he says, when you read there, and Esther says, they hanged him on the gallows, that's a mistranslation. They impale him on the tree. So that means that they probably crucify him. It says that the Persians invented the crucifixion, but the Romans perfected the way that their people will suffer. Is it too hot or is it just me? Is it hot? No, maybe it's just me. I'm getting so excited here with all this. But the way that they perfected it is they how to make men suffer more. And how to last longer, so people can see. And some of the guys who were crucified, they last days in there. So they were surprised. Verse 27. Let's go to Mark chapter 15, verse 27. And it says that, and with him they crucify two robbers, one on the right and one on the left. One on the right and one on the left. Verse 28, the King James has this verse, but the ESV doesn't have it. Because according to some scholars, they say that this verse, it's not in some of these manuscripts. So in the New King James, verse 28 says, so the scripture was fulfilled, which says he was numbered with the transgressors. And even if it's not, or if he is, this is a true. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy. Now, do you remember Mark and John and his brother James there in Mark chapter 10 when they came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, can I be on your right and James on the left? And Jesus said, hey, you don't know what you're asking, right? You don't know what you're asking. Because we see here the picture of Jesus Christ in the middle. He's in the center, and there's one criminal on one side, and there's another criminal on the other side. Now, let me ask you this. Which one of you is you? Which one of those criminals is you? Or which side will you pick or do you choose? Which one? The left or the right? Jesus is the righteous man. He has a righteous heart. He's the only perfect one in there among all the people in there. Verse 29 here in Mark chapter 15 says, and those who passed by mocked him, wagging their heads and saying, ha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. Interesting enough, they said, this is a truth, he saved others. Do you remember his ministry? He was going town to town healing people. His message was repent and believe in the gospel and the good news. Repent and believe in me. Come to me, all who are worried. How many of you are hurting this morning? Be honest. How many of you are really hurting? Sometimes we don't want to raise our hand, but you know what? We, all of us in here are hurting. We all hurt in one way or another. Maybe you're hurting because there's something that you have in your life. Maybe you're hurting because you're carrying something from somebody else. Maybe you're hurting because you're carrying something in your life that has been in the past and you can't let go. Everyone is hurting in this world right now. People who praying for your brother, I'm hurting for my son who lives in California. I'm hurting for him. I want him to come to the Lord again. I'm worried for my other brother who lives in Mexico. He used to be a pastor. Now he's not. I'm hurting for him. I'm hurting for some of you that are going through a lot in your life that you cannot let go. You see, Jesus saved others. And here they say, well, he cannot save himself. He's not going down the cross. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to conquer the cross, and he's going to conquer death. That is what God, Jesus, is going to do. He didn't come to save our flesh. Our flesh is going to go back to the ground. But our spirit is eternal. He wants our heart. He wants our spirit. He wants us to come to him. They're making fun of him. Oh, look at, you said you're going to destroy this temple. Come on, get out. Where's your power? How many of you have heard in this time that we live pointing at God and saying, okay, God, come on, fix the economy. Fix the economy. I want to get paid more. Come on. That's not what God wants. And that's not what Jesus is going to do. Psalms 22 verse 7 says, All who see me mock me. They make mouth on me. They wag their heads. How sad. The righteous man, the perfect lamb is on the cross and they're making fun of him. Verse 32 here says, Mark chapter 15, verse 32 says, let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him also reveal him. They despise him. They were asking him to calm down. So you call yourself the King of Israel. The truth is that he is the King of Israel. But they have rejected him. He came to his son and his son rejected him. We don't want Jesus. We don't want Jesus. Come down from the cross that we may believe you. You know, in these days, people want to see signs and wonders. Somebody asked me, hey, it would be nice if we see dead people rise from the dead. I don't want to see that. I'll be scared, to be honest with you. Because sometimes we get caught up in signs and wonders and we want to see people jumping and everything. But what happens when all that stops? People are start looking for something else. Hey, you know what? There's no wonders and miracles in that church. I'm going to go somewhere else. You know, the wonder and the miracle is that you receive Christ in your heart and everything changed in your heart. We see miracles in here. We see couples that they came here hurting, and now the Lord has been healing. They're in the process of healing. Their life has changed. That is a miracle. That is what we want. People who come and let the Holy Spirit help and dwell in their hearts. And Jesus is not going to come down on the cross and say, hey, because remember, they asked him, are you the Christ? And he said, yes, I am. But if I tell you, you're not going to believe me. And the thing is this, they seen all these miracles. They said, hey, he's been healing others. But they still don't believe. The righteous man, the righteous heart of Jesus Christ. Now we're gonna see four things in here. The righteous, the self-righteous hearts with envy. And then the deceiving heart and a repentant heart. Oh, something happened to me. Hold on, something happened here. Just give me a second. Try to go back. It went off and on. So we see those men who are called self-righteous calling up to Jesus saying, well, if you're the Son of God, come on down. Because they think they're doing the right thing. They believe that they're doing the right thing. They believe that by crucifying Jesus is the right thing. Because they're okay in their hearts. Hey, and they're going to do Passover. Right? They say, our hands want to be clean so we can do the Passover, that we can go and sacrifice the lamb and we can have that communion with God. What do you think is going to happen to them? Are they going to really have communion with God? There was no respect. They didn't pray to God. They didn't come to God and say, Lord, is this your son? Is this the Messiah? No, they did not. But now what we're going to see here, because there's two criminals on one side, one on the left and one on the side, we're going to see a repentant heart and then a heart that has been deceived. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, verse 39, it says that one of the criminals who were hanging blasphemed him at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Where did he hear that? Where did he hear that? Because it sounds familiar, right? He's telling Jesus, if you are the Christ, save yourself and save me, man. Where did he hear that? From those people who are accusing Jesus right in the front of him. He's probably listening like, oh, is this the Christ? I'm going to ask him right now because these guys are saying it. If you are the Christ, come, save us. Save us too. But the other one rebuked him saying, do you not fear God? The first guy, It's a deceived heart. It's someone who takes the wrong doctrine and thinks that God is going to give him everything. I'm going to name it and I'm going to claim it. And that is the wrong. That is wrong. Yeah, Jesus says God is a God of love, but the same way he is a God of judgment. Now we see here that the other one says, do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, verse 41 says, and we indeed justly, for we are received the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, please underline those words. Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Look what Jesus said to him. Truly, I say to you, today, not tomorrow, not in a week, but today. Jesus is telling, you're going to die. And you're going to be with me when you die. He says, today, you will be with me in paradise. I'm going to take you with you. But you know why? Because you just confessed with your mouth that I am your Lord. You just confessed in your heart that you believe that I'm going to rise from the dead. You just confessed that to me right here. And we see that in where? In Romans chapter what? 8. Paul later on says that. If we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and we believe that he in our hearts that he will raise from the dead will be saved. This man right here, he doesn't know the scripture and he's telling Jesus, hey, please remember me because you are innocent. Lord, fear God. I heard a story this week about a firefighter too that they were firing fires up in the woods. And he said that he was running after his life, but you know he was running, and he's really physical fit, he can just run and leave everybody behind. But he said, you know what? I stayed behind with my friends, and I wanted to call upon God to help me, but as I was listening to this story, he said, but I didn't want to call upon him because I have not received Christ in my heart. And how many people are like that? How many people believe that, you know, God is too busy? He's busy with a church over there in Independence that he's always there, but he's not here in my home. He's not here in my church. He's always there for us. But you see, he understood. He said, I need God in my life. Friday, there was a story. I'm telling you that there was a lady out there, and she was not mentally okay. And she was hitting her head on those metal posts. And I was in my office, and if somebody started like hitting something, I can hear it. And I'm like, whoa, somebody is like using the car to hit on the walls. So I go out here and I see somebody on the window, and that lady's screaming and hitting herself in the metal pole. And I can see that there's blood coming out. And I'm like, whoa. So I call the cops and, hey, I don't know what's going on with this lady. I don't know if she's on drugs. I don't know if she has a gun or something. I'm not going to go out there. Can you come? And they took forever. No, I'm just kidding. They took some time. Then I saw that she sat down, and I went over there and I said, are you going to be okay? She goes, yes, I'll be okay. So you do need anything? No, I don't need anything. And I said, you know, I just want to tell you something, that Jesus loves you. And she said, you know, I hate people that want to manipulate your thoughts and the things you do. And I said, I don't want nothing from you. I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And I came back to my office, and again, she started screaming, and she's screaming, and she like hit her head right on the corner of that window. And I'm coming outside again. I'm like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm going to be okay. And she sat down, and I can see all the scars in her head. And she started talking to herself. And I said, hey, let me remind you again that Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter what you're suffering. It doesn't matter what it is. Jesus loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. She didn't want to look at me. She was turning around. She didn't want anything to do with me. And I can see the picture of these two criminals. And she's the one who say, hey, come down and help me. If you're the Christ, come down and help me. And then Saturday morning, they had to come and take her to the hospital because she was hurt. Let's go back to Mark chapter 15, verse 33. And when the 6 hours came, it's like around noon, there was darkness over the whole land until the 9 hour. It was dark, like around 3 o'clock, from noon to 3 o'clock. This was a supernatural thing that it happened. The presence of God judging the world, judging sin. It is coming to an end. It's almost coming to an end. And we see that it gets dark. And now it wasn't an eclipse or anything because it was the full moon right there. And it's 3 o'clock. So can you imagine everything gets dark right away? Everybody start thinking. Verse 34 says, and when the 9 hour, 3 o'clock, Jesus cried in a loud voice saying, Elohi, Elohi, lama sabachthani, which means my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was not afraid to die. Jesus was not afraid of the nails that they were driven through his arm and his feet. He wasn't afraid of that spear that went through his ribs. He wasn't afraid of all the blood that he lost because he lost it for you and me. He was afraid. He was scared. He was terrified that the Lord, that God, the Father would turn his back against him. So when you and I, we sin, that's what happens. The Lord turns his back away from us. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, it is your sin that have cut off you from God because your sin has turned away. He has turned away and will not listen anymore. It's our sin. Jesus took our sin, every single one of us. It doesn't matter what secret you have. It doesn't matter. You say, well, you know, nobody knows about this new sin that I have. It doesn't matter. Jesus knows. And he took it to the cross. He nailed it there for you and me. But it's our sin. So when you're praying and there's sin and you have not confessed that sin, you know what? God is not saying, I can't hear you. I can't hear. There's something between me and you. And that's a sin that you have in your life. You need to confess that. I want to take care of it. I want to wipe it away. I want to take it away from you. And look what it says here in verse 35. And some of the bystanders hearing, he said, behold, he's calling Elijah. Verse 36 here, Mark chapter 15 said, and some ran and filled a sponge with the sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see if Elijah comes and takes him down. Again, you see that the people misunderstanding Jesus. Jesus is calling to the Father. He has a relationship with his Father, a close relationship. He prays. He dwells in him. And he said, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen who? The Father. We should cry. We should feel sad. We should be broken when we sin in our lives because we know that that relationship has been broken. When you lie to your wife, when you lie to your husband, when your kids are disobedient and they lie to you, they broke that relationship. And only Christ can help you with that. They were thinking that he was asking for Elijah. And it says, verse 37, and Jesus uttered a cry, a loud cry, and breathed his last. John tells us, John 19, verse 30, says that he said, it is finished. It is done. It is finished. And he took his last breath. It is finished. What does it finished mean? It's thaleo. It's over. It's paid. It's done. I took that word and I said, Lord, I want you to remind me every time I see the word. So I put it on my arm. And every time I see thaleo, I remember that word of Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished, Sergio. There's nothing else for you to do. You don't have to sacrifice your dogs or your calf or anything. You don't have to do anything. You just had to come to the cross to me. You just got to come to me. Verse 39 says, and when the centurion who stood facing him saw that this was the last breath, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. Truly this man was the Son of God. We saw the righteous man, Jesus Christ, on the cross, taking everything for us. We saw those men, self-righteous, were calling upon him, saying, hey, you're the Christ, get down there. And we saw that man who was deceived, saying, hey, you are the Christ, take us down on the cross. I don't want to be suffering. I don't want to die today. But we saw the other one who repented. And he says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, I believe in my heart that he's going to raise from the dead, I want to be with you, Lord. I want to be with you, Jesus. Remember me, please. Hey, how many of you today that need to settle this with Jesus? How many of you? Turn your Bibles in Psalms chapter 22. Psalms 22. And this is the words of David. And he says, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Did that sound familiar? It was Jesus, right? Why are you so far from me? Save me from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cried by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and in you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cry and were rescued. In you they trust and they were not put to shame. Isn't that the same? Jesus took our shame and he rescued us. Verse 6 says, but I am a worm, underline the word worm, and I'm not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. Verse 7 says, and all who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. The word there, worm, is the word tola, T-O-L-A, tola. And this is a worm, and we have a picture of that, the worm. It's red. And so when the female is going to lay their eggs, what it does is it gets stuck in this piece of wood and it stays there until the eggs are hatched. And you know what happens? The babies start eating the mom from the inside. And so it leaves that red stain on the wood. But later on, what happens is this, the next picture, this is what happened when the mom falls down. She turns white. She turns white. The perfect picture of Jesus Christ nailing on the cross, that cross was with blood, but we know that as he died, he comes. This is white as snow. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. This is how the NLT says, come, let us settle this. Let us settle this. Let's take our sin. Let's bring our lives to Christ. Let's bring everything to the cross because Jesus said it's finished. It is finished. Where are you in your walk with the Lord? On which side of the cross are you right now? On the left or on the right? Are you the one who's saying to Jesus, Lord, remember me, please. Forgive me. Or are you the one who's saying, no, I want to see something. I want to see a miracle. I want to see if you can put some money on my bank account so I can pay all my bills. Oh, I want you to bring me a car, you know, just if you can prove me something that you're real. My question to you is, what will you do with Jesus? Because this man, this centurion, when he saw Jesus, says, indeed, this man is the Son of God. But the question is, what did he do with that? Did he just say, oh, well, yeah, he's the Son of God. But what about you? Do people know that you're a believer? Do people know that Christ lives in you? Do they know that you have given your life to Christ? You know why? Let me give you my last point here. Is there a... Yeah. Can somebody read it really loud? caught by you with the hype. You and I, we owe the Lord. You and I, we need to settle this today because we all hurting. And it's just not some of us, it's all of us. We all need to settle this. We need to come to Christ. We need to come to the cross. And you know what? We need to carry our cross. No longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And today you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come and dwell in you. You can come and say, Lord, just take everything that is in me. I've been trying to do with my own strength. I've been trying to figure it out what to do with this thing that is just consuming my life. I want you to take care of it. I want to settle this with you, Lord, today. I want to surrender my life. Not just surrender my life, Lord. I want to carry my cross. And I want you to pay for my sins, Lord. I know you did. And Lord, I know that you pay a high price for me. Somebody told me I'm not worthy. I'm nobody. I said, you know what? You are worthy. You have a high price because you are God's creation. You were created in the image of God. There's a lot of people out there who are hurting. People who say, who are struggling in their lives. And the world, all they want to do is, let's give him a little pill. Let's give him something so they can just get better. What we need is Jesus in our lives. What you need today is Jesus and his love and his mercy and his kind. The greatest story that you can tell your family is the story of love and mercy and grace that it comes from Jesus Christ. Will you close your eyes? And I want to pray for you. And I want to call you if you want to settle this with you, with God. Today, settle this. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Jesus was in front of all. And everybody was making fun of him. Nobody's going to make fun of you if you said, I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to surrender. I want to take care of things today with the Lord. I don't want to go home the same way that I came. I know that God sent his son. And I know that this is real. And we're going to have communion. And we all want to have it together. But I want to pray for you. If the Holy Spirit is speaking into your heart today and said, just carry your cross. Settle this with me. Because today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow, it can be too late for you. It's appointed to men to die. And then after that, there's a judgment. And you don't want to be in that place where God said, I don't know you. But I was at the church and I heard the message. You did, but you didn't settle anything with me. Today is the day. If you want to settle your life with the Lord, will you raise your hand? God bless. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We need to settle this with the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your spirit that is among us here, Lord. I pray for each one of those who raise their hands, Lord, who want to settle everything with you, Lord, today. We have this assurance, Lord. It says, Lord, in Ephesians that your spirit will come and seal us, Lord, that we now belong to you, that we don't no longer belong to the world. We belong to you, Father. And I pray, Father, as they go home, Lord, that they can meditate on this, that now they're free, they're set free of anything in their hearts. Let me ask you this. How many of you are hurting? How many of you need prayer? Amen. Anybody else? How many of you really need prayer? Amen. Father, there's a lot of hurt in this morning. There's a lot of hurt in this world, Father. It's falling apart. Sin is just becoming the new normal for people. It is becoming worse and worse and more disgusting. We see it, Lord, in our schools. We see it in our stores. We see it, Lord, on TV, Lord, and sometimes in our homes, Lord. Father, help us. I pray for each one of us here who are hurting inside, Lord. I pray, Father, that your spirit will minister to them, Lord. Father, I want to give room for the spirit, Lord, to move. Father, if you have a word of encouragement, Father, if you have a word of wisdom, of prophecy, Lord, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you, Lord, manifest this right now, Lord. And Father, I pray for each one of us in here. Help us not to go home the same way we came. Help us to think that we are bought in a high price. We were bought at a high price. You pay for it. It's done. It is finished. It is finished. It is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have communion and we're all going to have it together. So will you come, take the cup, take the bread, go to your seat and wait for everybody to take the cup. And we're going to do it all together. I want to do this more intimate with you in your space right there. You call upon the Lord and you allow the Holy Spirit to minister in your heart. And I want to ask Pierce to come forward and he's going to pray for the cup. Do we have any more cups? And I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Simply Jesus. And this is our model, simply Jesus. We're not a fancy church. I don't sing because I'm horrible singing. But I'm going to tell you something. I love you and Jesus loves you. Pierce is going to pray for the cup and I'll pray for the bread. In the same way, the Lord took the bread and he broke it and passed it around. And he said, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. My question to you is, what are you going to do with Jesus now after this? What are you going to do with Jesus? Let's take the bread. Father, thank you for your body that it was broken for us, Lord. The blood, the body, Lord, the high price Lord, now we don't have no excuse, Lord, to know, to go and tell everyone out there that you love us, that you everything is finished. Thank you, Lord. Give us a heart, Lord, of worship. Give us a heart, Lord, that we can just dwell with you, Lord, that we can fellowship with you, Lord, that we can worship with you, Lord. And I know, Lord, that sometimes we go to trials and you're not going to take those trials, but you're going to deal with the heart. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.